Welcome to BBS Radio, and this is BBS Radio covering 185 stations across the world, 37 countries in the world, and they're doing a magnificent job and increasing some ideas of expanding even bigger as we go forward. Today I want to talk about Project Disclosure. Of course, that's my website, projectdisclosure.com. And why did I set that up? Well, there are people out here doing a magnificent job in terms of following up on the recent soft disclosure by the Pentagon on UFOs and UAPs. Big deal. And alien activity on planet Earth. Wonderful deal. It's certainly time for that to happen because they are here, not only in terms of entities coming to planet Earth, but also, what can I say, many craft and many species will be coming to planet Earth the year 2024 and on for the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. It's the beginning of a bigger disclosure that we are all apprised of.
On at least 6 space missions, United States astronauts have encountered UFOs. Journalist Frank Edwards records the following incident.
As Major Cooper was making his final orbit of the Earth in May of 1963, he was approaching Perth, Australia. Suddenly, Major Cooper radioed down to the tracking station that he was being approached by a greenish glowing disc with a faint red glow on one side. It was traveling east to west, which no man-made satellite does. 200 persons at the tracking station watched the object on the gear there. They saw it approach Cooper. Then it veered away from him and sped on out into space. It was only the first of many such cases. Every American astronaut since Gordon Cooper has also been approached by unidentified flying objects. And each time the UFOs come closer to the astronauts, and each time they remain a little longer. In 1965, Major Edward McDivitt photographed one of these objects near the capsule in which he was orbiting the Earth over the Pacific Ocean. And the photograph, as released by the National Aeronautics and Space Administration, clearly shows a bright, egg-shaped thing which leaves a visible trail from its propulsion system. The more we study the evidence that is being assembled all over the Earth, the more inescapable the conclusion that man had best prepare himself for the greatest event in human history. The realization that we are about to contact, or to be contacted by, sentient beings from elsewhere in the universe. The late General Douglas MacArthur said that this confrontation would be the greatest challenge man ever had to face. Are we ready for it when and if it comes? Frank Edwards reporting.
Well, of course, that was reported a couple of years ago. Listen, this thing is big. I am telling you, there's so much to unravel about all of this all over the world. And it's been hidden for more than 100 years, really thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years. No one wanted to talk about it. So as William Tompkins says, he's gone now, he's 94 years old, when he left a couple of weeks ago, or a couple of months ago, if you will. He had worked with alien species, if you will, entities from 1939, 1940, 1941, 1942, all the way up until the time he passed, which is only a couple of years ago for now. This is 2024. And his books are worth their weight in gold. He had a 3-volume book called Selected by Extraterrestrials. And since he did work with them and develop spacecraft that are now traversing all across the galaxy, and we'll get to that, that even William Corso, C-O-R-S-O, Corsico, he's saying that he was a colonel, and as a matter of fact, President Truman in 1947 put him in charge of what they called the Majestic 12, and he was one of the persons who had access to all the back engineering, all the craft that had fallen, and is able to take that to major corporations and have it back engineered, so we have that, you know, the technology. It's all wrapped up in hand. So, but he said before he passed, and his book is called The Day After Roswell, even though he held that secret for 40 or 50 or 60 years to himself and to a small group of people around him, he was really believed in his heart of hearts that it should be out so everyone could have this information. And this is what he said before he passed. Remember, the book is The Day After Roswell. You can get the copy from Amazon, or you can get the audio and listen to what he says.
And I'd add on to that. Give us information to the young people of the world in this country. They want to hear it. They want it. Give it to them. Don't hide it and tell lies and make stories. They're not stupid. They're not young men that'll panic. In fact, my own nephew was research director of Daco Corporation. He tells me, he says, Uncle Phil, why don't they tell us the truth? We're not going to panic and pull our hair out. And one good example of this, which I always tell, to prove this point that the young people will want it and they're not going to panic, they want to hear this. And that's one of the reasons I wrote this. Even my own grandchildren now will see it. And I always prove it this way. I commanded a battalion of 1,500 men, combat battalion. Average age of my soldiers was 19 and a half years old. I told my exec one day, my God, Maine were sending babies into battle. And these kids, they fought the greatest armies in the world. They didn't run. They didn't panic. They stood there and fought. And that, why do you think they'll panic? They wanted this information. They deserve it.
And so that was Colonel, Lieutenant Colonel Corso, C-O-R-S-O, Corso. And he's gone now, but he left all that material back. Even if you go to Google him and listen to extended interviews, I would suggest you do that, because you do want to get it firsthand from the people who happen to have, you know, there's a book called Above Top Secret. He's way above top secret. Even the president, people in Congress, in the Senate, people in all areas of government, judiciary, or executive, didn't have this information. Only a handful of people had this information so far. But now, because of people like Dr. Stephen Greer, now he's been researching all of this for the past, 35 years, at least since 1993, and he's had some real, real serious contacts with people who have had information, and we will talk about him in a moment, and we will let him tell his own story. But this goes way back. So this is 2024. Well, if we were to go back to 1970, 1980, there was a guy called Art Bell, made a late night show. And so as a result of him having, what can I say, his hand on the helm of this thing, he did a lot of radio shows with, and then George Norrie, who now has a show called Beyond Belief. But here's Art Bell talking about some of the things that he discussed about paranormal and about the UFO and alien abduction.
Well, I remember, Professor, a lot of movies that have dealt with invasions have featured people like yourself who have realized what's going on and have tried to tell people what's going on and generally have been roundly ostracized by those that, you know, you've told. For example, let me ask, have you run this by any of your colleagues?
Well, here's the thing about academics. When it comes to UFO abductions,
yes.
Let me start with scientists first.
Okay.
You know, scientists have discovered something that goes faster than the speed of light. And what that something is the speed at which they get stupid when they talk about abductions. It happens faster than the speed of light. It's a miracle. And academics in general are pretty much like that. I've only had two people in teaching at Temple from 1975 to 2011. I only had two people who ever engaged me in conversation about the subject. Both of them were in the liberal arts. Not a single scientist, not a physicist, an astronomer, a chemist, not a single scientist at Temple University in 37 years I was there, or whatever it was, asked me, Jacobs, what the hell is all this about? What's going on? What's the matter with you? Are you nuts? Not a single person said that to me. Not one ever.
Yeah. But look, those are the days. 1947, there was a Roswell crash, right? Prior to that, there were a lot of people out there talking about Foo Fighters in 1942. And those pilots and the people as air traffic controllers could not bring that to the table, because had they brought it to the table and told the commanding officer of the air base that they would be considered crazy and they would be dismissed, if you will, they would lose their credibility. Because in those days, you could not talk about it. Even though you saw it, you experienced it, you might have been abducted and remembered some. You might have been approached by an alien, whatever, but nobody would dare bring that up because of the people who were in charge of engineering all those aircraft and in charge of holding on to this information did not want you to talk about it. You can even go to the motion picture The Men in Black by Steven Spielberg, and you'll see all that kind of machinations going on in terms of keeping this a secret. So it's been kept a secret for so long that even today, millions and millions and billions of people still don't believe it's possible that other entities in the universe are here, or that they've been on this planet, or that there have been UFOs here. So that goes on and on. So now the Pentagon, along with 60 Minutes, decided to come up with this soft launch, soft disclosure, we call it. Now it's beginning to be heard and discussed. As a matter of fact, the congressional hearings were just a few months ago in July of 2023. And David Grush talked about the people who were at that hearing. They were astonished that David Grush said, yes, I've seen aliens. Yes, I've seen the spacecraft. And there are government officials who are back engineering all of this, the secret Space Force people, right? They are in charge of this, and they threaten us, our limbs, our lives, our families, if we say anything at all. And this was at the congressional hearing. So for those people who want to do the homework, here's what I suggest you do. Google the congressional hearings. Listen intently to David Grush, that he spoke for 3 hours one day, maybe, and they have another one back in July. He spoke something like 3 hours, he and other people there were on that podium. So do your homework. Delve into this thing. And eventually, over the next year, 2 years, 3 years, more and more will be forthcoming, and you will understand that this is real, as did all the guys back when we talked about Jacob, Dr. Jacobs, if you were at Temple University, when we talked about Al Bell, he's gone now. Even when we talk about George Green, not, he's gone too, but George Norrie. Now, George Norrie still has a program called Beyond Belief. Now, you want to go to, look at the, if you have Netflix or whatever you have, go watch some of the programs. Now, some of the programs will say you have Cosmic Connections, you have Gaia, you have the Truth Hunters, Ancient Aliens, UFO Secrets, Beyond Belief, on and on and on, many, many, many more. Start listening to some of those programs so that you can come up to speed to know exactly what's happened in terms of alien abduction and aliens being on the planet and UFOs.
Insect-like ones simply do not tell their motivations. And when sometimes people ask hubrids, why are you here? What's the point of all this? they'll say, my job, my task is to live here. That's all I know. That's all they know. They don't know, in other words.
God. You know, what you have said is so astounding. A master race that is capable of mind control. We don't yet know their motives, but they're probably ultimately not good. I mean, they've got something they want to do. I have not yet seen the hybrids, as it were, improve our lives in any way.
Well, I think it's still fairly early on, and before we begin to understand that something else is going on. Here's one generalization you can make about the aliens, and this is a large generalization, but it's probably accurate. Doing this, planetary acquisition, as I call it, in some way benefits them.
Well, no question about that. They are here, and that's a big discussion. That's about a five-hour show. But anyway, so they're here. Now, who are they? From what I understand and the minimal research that I have done recently, we're talking about not just the Greys or the Reptilians or the Nordics or the Tall Whites or the Insectoids, but many, many more. Somebody saying that the name I bring up is Elizabeth April. EA, she likes to call herself. She's about 28, 30 years old, and she does remote viewing, telepathy, and she's in contact with the Galactic Command. She is saying right now on this planet, you have about at least 70 or 80 or maybe 100 different alien species who come and go on this planet because they have been given permission to come to this planet, which is some people call it the outback of the universe, which some others call it the prison planet, an experimental planet, because we have been lied to. And if you go to William Tompkins, Selected by Extraterrestrials, it's a 3-volume series. I would get that if I were you, or you're going to listen to the audio. But he says, we've been lied to, and all that we have been taught economically, politically, socially, psychologically, in terms of our spirituality, in terms of who we are, in terms of who we think we are. He is saying, in essence, that the human species is a hybrid. He just talked about the hybrids. And if you go to hybridchildrencommunity.com, on that website, Bridget is explaining to you that they are created on spaceships and brought down here to hang out with us and to mix in and live and be a part of the world that we know of. So that's a big subject, the guy says. And some people indicated a few minutes ago when we listened to Al Billick, or Al Bell, if you will, he's saying that it may be malevolent. They may have some evil ideas about what they want to do with us and themselves or whatever, among them. But Dr. Greer, who's been doing a lot of research, and I'll have him talk in just a moment, he's saying he believes that we should get along with the hybrids who come in here and the aliens who are occupying the planet and who created us, not only just the Anunnaki, but there are 20 or 30 or different other alien species who we now have in us DNA, their DNA. So we are the alien species. We are the hybrids. That's what people are beginning to say these days.
She's just honest. She's an honest person. Everybody I've worked with who's in this book has been an absolutely rigorously honest person. And here's something else and that people have to understand. People come to me who are high-functioning people, who I mentioned before, you know, university professors and yes, psychiatrists and psychologists and medical professionals and all that. And they're coming to me to examine their abduction experiences, knowing full well that if anybody finds out about this, it would destroy their careers. Absolutely, positively, without question. Mm-hmm. All a psychiatrist has to say is, I've been abducted by little gray men from another planet. That's all they got to say if they don't ever want to work in the mental health field again.
That's right.
And so, therefore, there's no reason whatsoever to come to me at all and take the chance that I myself am some sort of goofball who's gonna use their real names and set it right to the New York Times or something like that. But they're taking that chance because they desperately will want to know what has been happening to them throughout the course of their entire lives, and they can't figure it out, and they need to have help by a person who can help them figure it out.
You know, the person who can help us figure this out, the people who have done research, I'm just reporting on this, right? And I look at me as a reporter, you know, a broadcast journalist, if you will, and that's what I used to do when I was teaching at Howard University some years ago. But anyway, then I worked with, you know, a lot of television and radio stations a long, long, long time ago. But anyway, so the information I get is I start researching these people who are doing research and have been researching all of this whole subject matter for the last 50, 60, 70, 80 years or more. It goes way back, way back. But Dr. Greer, Stephen Greer, he's founder of the Disclosure Project. He's founder of the Center for the Study of Extraterrestrial Intelligence and the Orion Project and the Ceres Technology Advanced Research Center. That's Ceres, S-I-R-I-U-S, S-I-R-I-U-S, Technology Advanced Research Center. Now, if you go punch him up, Google him, he's been in the field 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, since 1993. He has a lot of information. So if you go to his website, you will get that kind of information, and he will even update you in terms of his last foray into the subject matter when it's at the National Press Club last July 10th, 11th, 12th, and 13th. And he had hundreds of people there, thousands of people worldwide listening to him. Go dig, go follow him, a person who has been in the trenches on this for the last 35 years, 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. His background, he was an ER physician, head of the ER center for many years, but he decided to step away and do this kind of research and talk about the Pentagon's soft disclosure, the Pentagon with 60 Minutes, also the New York Times, go get that newspaper. There's an expose of the New York Times, and that was New York Times of 2017. And the young lady who did that was Keen. Her name is Leslie Keen, K-E-A-N. Get the book. She has a book called, it's down here on the floor. The title of the book is Generals, Pilots, Government Officials Go on the Record. She took 10 years to do this. Heck of research. I mean, it's awesome. If you really want to do a deep dive into what's going on planet Earth with regards to UFOs and aliens, get this book. Look at that expose that she had in the New York Times on 2017. Yeah. And you can get the audio or you can get the book itself, and it talks about what is going on with the discovery, the soft disclosure of the Pentagon.
So what has happened, and what the sort of through the looking glass that happened to me, was that from that experience, I then had a briefing a couple years later with General Patrick Hughes. Now, for people who don't know who he was the three-star general who is the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is like the CIA for the Pentagon. It's the big clearing operation for intelligence gathering and assessments and analysts. And the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, General Hughes, had made inquiries through proper channels onto this subject, and he was denied access. So I was asked to come in with my military advisor and a couple other people to brief him, and he told the same story. In fact, he went over to his bookshelf. Now, imagine this. I'm at the Pentagon, where the generals and admirals, that part of the Pentagon, he goes over to in his conference room, goes over to his bookshelf, picks up a little E.T. doll like you'd get at a store, toy store, and he said, furiously, he said, this is all I've ever gotten in my inquiry about this through channels as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency.
True. Dr. Stephen Greer has done a magnificent job in collecting all of this material for the last 35 years. He's made it his life study, his reason for living. This is probably, he might have been chosen to come to the Earth some years ago when he was born, just to be here at the Disclosure Project so that he can help with disclosure, and he certainly has done a magnificent job. So if you want to get at the history of what he has done, there's a documentary called Unacknowledged, a book of the same title, by the way, that he has published. But Unacknowledged runs about maybe an hour, 10 minutes, and you can Google that and listen to all of that and take notes. 700 million people have watched that already, okay? Now, his latest one is a real big deal. It's called The Lost Century. In The Lost Century, he goes back to 1900 and all the cover-up of 1900, 1910, 1920, 1930, 1940, and brings that up to date to the present, to 2024. He brings it all front and center, so you can understand all the nuances of who's hiding this and why. So Dr. Greer is a person that you would really want to pay attention to. And he has a podcast on it. So when you Google him, he should be all over the place. Here's more about Dr. Greer.
Well, good day, Michael. Thanks so much for having me on your show. Yes, it was a transition that would certainly have surprised a lot of people who'd read my previous books, which were all nice books about Christian spirituality and mysticism. And as you rightly say, that's where my career had been for 33 years in church-based ministry. I was a theological educator, training pastors. I was a church doctor, working as an intentional interim, a troubleshooter, archdeacon for the Anglican Church. And it all sounds very orthodox and mainstream. But those who knew me well knew that lurking in the back of my brain were some other questions which had been sown way back when I was about 11 years old, when I read Eric von Daniken's magnum opus, Chariots of the Gods. And I felt that he had accurately put his finger on some gaps in our abilities to explain ourselves as an intelligent, conscious species at the zenith of planet Earth. And as a young boy, I found that the religious answers to that question were a little unsatisfying, and the scientific answers to the questions had some gaps in it as well. So I felt there were some really legitimate questions about whether or not we're alone in the cosmos, and whether or not human development had happened without any kind of external intervention. So these were questions in my mind from the time I was a boy. And then you'll remember in about 2009, the Vatican, under the leadership of Pope Benedict XVI, the most conservative pope in my lifetime, shocked everybody by convening the calling on the Pontifical Academy of Sciences to convene a five-day colloquium to discuss the theological implications of contact with other civilizations. And when I found out they were doing this, I could have fallen off my chair, because it was only four centuries ago the same institution was burning people alive for merely suggesting there might be intelligent life on other planets, let alone us being in contact with them, let alone the language they were using at the time, which was of embracing a brother or sister alien. And there were significant senior spokespeople for the Curia coming out and saying that's exactly what we needed to do. And one of them, the senior astronomer for the Vatican Observatory, came out and said we shouldn't be surprised to encounter extraterrestrial species because they're in the Bible, he said. They're in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And when he said that, he was really throwing down a gauntlet to scholars, theologians all around the world to go back to the Bible and ask the question, are there other entities referenced in these texts that today we would call ETs? And for about a decade, I was sitting there knowing this gauntlet had been thrown down, interested to see how the other churches would respond to this challenge. And in the end, I felt I needed to respond to the challenge. I preached through the book of Genesis in a church I was working for in Victoria. And it was just so obvious to me preaching through it that there's this other layer of story that we preachers tend never to get to. The layer is obvious because of the anomalies in the stories we usually tell from out of the Bible. And I thought, I really have to give time to this, to sit down, go through these anomalies, work on them. I discovered they were translation anomalies. And once I tackled them that way and got back to some root meanings of some key words, that I realized the ET layer of the story in the Bible is from start to finish.
And by the way, that's by Paul Willis. So you kind of pointed up the wrong one. But anyway, he talked about it from a religious point of view and a research point of view, and especially talking about the Vatican. Listen, there's so much to unravel here, and I won't be able to get to much of it today, but I will point up some highlights here and there so that you, the listener, if you really care about the truth of the matter, you know, if you're saying this is the UFO voice of truth, you know, then you need to do some homework. You need to do your research. Don't take my word for it or the people that I punch up. I've done a little bit of just a little bit of homework, but not like some of these people who have been in the trenches for decades and can't come forward because they were afraid of the Majestic 12 group. Now, well, who's the Majestic 12 group? Well, there's a group that President Truman took over from. He was in 1947 when Roosevelt passed on. He was the vice president, to his surprise, maybe to his chagrin, but he took over the job as president of the United States when Roosevelt passed after being elected four times. He came in 1932, 36, another election, 40, another election, 44, another election. He was elected four times to be president of the United States. He did a magnificent job, may I say. But anyway, Truman took over, and then Roswell happened in 1947, right? So Truman said, I got to do something about this. I can't let the people know about this because they would be in a dither. They would be devastated. They would be. We taught them Jesus Christ, heaven and hell, the Protestant, Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, whatever, Church of the Latter-day Saints. They all believe that stuff, and we got to keep them believing that stuff because I can't disrupt the whole society to tell them that they're aliens from other planets who are really in control of the planet, and not the pulpit, the priest or the minister in the pulpit anywhere. So that's another big discussion. It's devastating to learn that you've been lied to all of your lives, and that's what these people are saying. Not me. These people are saying. There's another report that you may want to get, if you can get it. It's called The Proposed Studies on the Implication of Peaceful Space Activities for Human Affairs. Now, that was done and prepared for the National Aeronautics and Space Administration by the Brookings Institute. The Brookings Institute in 1961 to the Committee of Science and Aeronautics to the U.S. House of Representatives, the 87th Congress. Now, I have the report. Luckily, I have that report. Now, what it says in essence, and I'll do it in essence, it says, if you discover that aliens are here on the planet, if you discover that they're running among us, they're among us, that they had anything to do but in visiting us with the spaceships, do not tell the people of the Earth because they can't handle the truth, like in that motion picture. Like Tom Nicholas said, you can't handle the truth. So they said, don't tell them anything. And one instance of that was that in 1938, Orson Welles did a radio show in New York City. I think it was NBC or ABC, whatever it was. But I think it was NBC. But in 1938, you can punch that up and listen to it. And people believed that we were being attacked by aliens. It's called the War of the Worlds. And they started panicking. they were panicking and running and jumping and disrupting themselves, and the whole night, it's like happened 2 weeks ago, if you will, on New Year's Day down in Miami, where the aliens were walking through the mall and they shut down the whole city at the time. They stopped any aircraft from flying over. 61,000 houses didn't have electricity. 100 police cars came out. That was about a couple of weeks ago, but you can Google that and get more information. That's another story in itself. The aliens did come through the mall, and people were upset. So people will, for the people who don't believe in aliens, don't believe it's a possibility, they will be terribly upset. As a matter of fact, they think the moon is a planet. The moon is not a planet, according to the people who do the research, according to William Tompkins. The moon is an observatory that was put there about 40,000 years ago to watch us and to see what we're going to do as species that they had developed. But here's a little bit about the moon and it being an observatory.
When we landed at the landing site, the Tranquility Sea, the crater above it was quote-unquote crowded with these UFOs sitting there. And I know this for a fact. Buzz Aldrin knows it. Neil Armstrong knew it. I tried to get Neil Armstrong to come forward, but he told one of his best friends was worked with me, and he says yes, but he's been told if he ever talks about that, he, his wife, his kids, and his grandchildren will be killed. They'll wipe them out. Yeah. So I said, look, I'm not going to force the issue, but I know what happened when we landed. I know what was there. You know how it got covered up. How the signals were intercepted and things erased from the footage before the public would see it through a relay based out of Australia. At any rate, the point I'm making is that, yes, I mean, so I think at a certain point it was decided maybe we shouldn't be going back. So they after a few more events, they sort of wound down that moon project. Initially, we were going to build a base up there and do all kinds of stuff. Now, keep in mind, it wasn't just extraterrestrial assets. There were man-made assets.
Already on the moon? From before? From the ancient times?
No, from this covert group. So remember, let me give your listeners a date. October 1954 was the date we mastered what's called gravity control, these electromagnetic field systems. So one of the things we're going to show in the Lost Century and at the National Press Club, the National Press Club event in June may happen before the film's out. The distributor's still trying to fix the date. But we're going to show that whole film at the two-day conference before the press club on that Sunday evening. It's going to be the Washington, D.C. premiere of this. But in it, people are going to see the testimony and the drawing and the artist rendition of this air show at Norton Air Force Base in 1988, where we have someone who was in there, and we have the transcript of what he just saw and described that he gave, that were three of these man-made circular UFOs. I think one was about 25, 30 feet, one was 50, and one was 100 feet. And they were just floating above in a hangar in a classified
man-made
area.
Man-made, human-made.
100% man-made. And those
how did they know they were man-made?
Oh, it was clear. They were being shown as deep black classified aircraft.
Okay. You got that? Now, when the astronauts went to the moon, which doesn't rotate, by the way, you only see one side of it, and there are entities on the moon, Gordon Cooper and others, Mitchell, said there were at least 200 spaceships there with reptilians standing under those spaceships. He says, don't come back here anymore. So anyway, they had to shut it down and stop going to the moon. Say, this, you can finish a mission or two, but do not come back. But you can check all this out for yourself. Do your research. It's all coming to the fore. It's all beginning to be present in our lives. The lies that we've been, the deception and the lies and being, how can I say, diabolical and nefarious in terms of keeping all this stuff hidden. And then if we were to come up and say anything for those people who have been abducted, for those people who have talked to aliens, for the people who have seen what's going on, then they said, if you see anything, then we will finish you. We will take care of you, your family, your dog, your cat, and your generations yet to come, and your family. We will destroy all of them. So the whistleblowers have been very, very cautious about not coming forward. And the psychiatrist told us, John Max said a few minutes ago, that if you said anything, you would be sneered at, ostracized, alienated from your own community group, from your own cul-de-sac, if you will. So it's a big subject when we talk about all of this, but it's real. It's real for those people who want to do homework, who want to study this. Do your homework. Delve into all of this. Look at Dr. Greer's Lost Century that he just talked about. It's only about you can go Google that and watch it. It's about an hour and 15 minutes or something. And he explains all of that, and he puts his energies and efforts in terms of that whole research that he has done to put that together so that we'll be up to speed in terms of who we are, why we are here, and what we are supposed to be doing on this planet.
So what has happened, and what the sort of through the looking glass that happened to me, was that from that experience, I then had a briefing a couple years later with General Patrick Hughes. Now, for people who don't know who he was the three-star general who is the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is like the CIA for the Pentagon. It's the big clearing operation for intelligence gathering and assessments and analysts. And the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency, General Hughes, had made inquiries through proper channels onto the subject, and he was denied access. So I was asked to come in with my military advisor and a couple other people to brief him, and he told the same story. In fact, he went over to his bookshelf. Now imagine this. I'm at the Pentagon, where the generals and admirals, that part of the Pentagon, he goes over to in his conference room, goes over to his bookshelf, picks up a little E.T. doll like you'd get at a store, toy store, and he said, furiously, he says, this is all I've ever gotten in my inquiry about this through channels as the director of the Defense Intelligence Agency.
So the people who had been given the information to operate all of this in terms of Corso, we talked about him the day after Roswell, we talked about the fact that it's above top secret. Even the president couldn't get any information, be it Eisenhower, be it John F. Kennedy, and even Truman didn't have all the information, because once he turned it over to that group, they took charge of it, and everything else was way above top secret, and no president, congressman, or senator, or anybody in government could get any of this information. They kept it close to their chest. But now, because the Pentagon has done a soft release, if you will, to begin to talk about the possibility that aliens are here, UFOs are traversing this universe, and there are thousands and thousands and thousands upon different entities out there somewhere in the galaxies, right? Not just us. So it's an eye-opener about this UFO secrecy, where we are, and all the stuff of the Pentagon.
Imagine a technology that can do 600 to 700 G-forces, that can fly at 13,000 miles an hour, that it can evade radar, and that can fly through air and water and possibly space, and, oh, by the way, has no obvious signs of propulsion, no wings, no control surfaces, and yet still can defy the natural effects of Earth's gravity. That's precisely what we're seeing.
Elizondo tells us ATIP was a loose-knit mix of scientists, electro-optical engineers, avionics, and intelligence experts, often working part-time. They combed through data and records and analyzed videos like this. A Navy air crew struggles to lock on to a fast-moving object off the U.S. Atlantic coast in 2015. Recently released images may not convince UFO skeptics, but the Pentagon admits it doesn't know what in the world this is. Or this. Or this.
So what do you say to the skeptic? It's refracted light, weather balloons, a rocket being launched, Venus.
In some cases, there are simple explanations for what people are witnessing. But there are some that are not. We're not just simply jumping to a conclusion that's saying, oh, that's a UAP out there. We're going through our due diligence. Is it some sort of new type of cruise missile technology that China has developed? Is it some sort of high-altitude balloon that's conducting reconnaissance? Ultimately, when you have exhausted all those what-ifs and you're still left with the fact that this is in our airspace and it's real, that's when it becomes compelling and that's when it becomes problematic.
Yeah. And another thing, too, if you're really interested in it, if you're not, turn off the radio, which is, and that's okay, too. But if you're really interested, you really want to do some history. For instance, let's go back a bit. We talk about the Foo Fighters, you know, FOO fighters, that pilots, control tower operators, ground control operators, radar operators saw in 1941, 42, 43, but nobody would dare talk about the Foo Fighters. Nobody wanted to bring that up. Mom's word, keep quiet, don't say anything, or you lose your job, you lose your credibility. Then in 1942, of course, hundreds of spaceships were over Los Angeles for 4 or 5 hours and being shot at because they thought they were really German aircraft then, back in the kind of strange German aircraft, possibly. But go back and pull up, look at UFOs in Los Angeles, 1942. Do your work. That was also in the paper. Then if you want to come back to 1947, of course, that's the Roswell deal. Now, that was the big deal that a lot of people were talking about, and there are books out there. So if you want to just find out what Roswell was all about, if you haven't heard of it, I know most people have heard of that, Area 51 or Groom's Lake or S4, but that's a whole new research element of Roswell. Even Steven Spielberg did a motion picture on it. No, he did a television series on it called, it was 13 and a half hours, and it was called Taken. If you haven't seen that, it was done about 15 years ago. It's available if you go to Amazon and get the whole box series and watch Taken, or just Google that. And he talked about that. He did 13 and a half hours, a series on that Roswell crash of 1947. So you can observe that. And for the go to the Washington Post of 1952, where they had two successive weekends, dozens and dozens of UFOs flew right over the White House. Pull that up for credibility's sake. And, of course, the Pentagon story of recent years, the soft launch with the Navy on 60 Minutes.
That over beers we've sort of said, hey, man, if I saw this solo, I don't know that I would have come back and said anything because it sounds so crazy when I say it.
You understand that reaction?
I do. You've had some people tell me, you know, when you say that, you can sound crazy. And I'll be honest, I'm not a UFO guy.
But from what I hear you guys saying, there's something.
Yes. Oh, there's definitely something that, I don't know who's building it, who's got the technology, who's got the brains, but there's something out there that was better than our airplane.
The air crew filed reports. Then, like the mysterious flying object, the Nimitz encounter disappeared. Nothing was said or done officially for 5 years. Until Lou Elizondo came across the story and investigated.
We spend millions of dollars in training these pilots, and they are seeing something that they can't explain. Furthermore, that information is being backed up on electro-optical data, like gun camera footage, and by radar data. Now, to me, that's compelling.
Inside the Pentagon, his findings were met with skepticism. ATIP's funding was eliminated in 2012. But Elizondo says he and a handful of others kept the mission alive until finally, frustrated, he quit the Pentagon in 2017. But not before getting these three videos declassified. And then things took a stranger turn.
I tried to help my colleague Lou Elizondo elevate the issue in the department and actually get it to the Secretary of Defense.
Christopher Mellon served as Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Intelligence for Presidents Clinton and George W. Bush and had access to top-secret government programs.
So it's not us. That's one thing we know.
We know that.
I can say that with a very high degree of confidence, in part because of the positions I held in the department, and I know the process.
Mellon says he grew concerned nothing was being done about UAPs, so he decided to do something. In 2017, as a private citizen, he surreptitiously acquired the three Navy videos Elizondo had declassified and leaked them to the New York Times.
It's bizarre and unfortunate that someone like myself has to do something like that to get a national security issue like this on the agenda.
He joined forces with now civilian Lou Elizondo, and they started to tell their story to anybody who would listen, to newspapers, the History Channel, to members of Congress.
We knew and understood that you had to go to the public, get the public interested, to get Congress interested, to then circle back to the Defense Department and get them to start taking a look at it.
And now it is. This past August, the Pentagon resurrected ATIP. It's now called the UAP Task Force. Service members now are encouraged to report strange encounters, and the Senate wants answers.
Anything that enters an airspace that's not supposed to be there is a threat.
After receiving classified briefings on UAPs, Senator Marco Rubio called for a detailed analysis. This past December, while he was still head of the Intelligence Committee, he asked the Director of National Intelligence and the Pentagon to present Congress an unclassified report by next month.
This is a bizarre issue. The Pentagon and other branches of the military have a long history of sort of dismissing this. What makes you think that this time is going to be different?
I mean, we're going to find out when we get that report. You know, there's a stigma on Capitol Hill. I mean, some of my colleagues are very interested in this topic and some kind of, you know, giggle when you bring it up. But I don't think we can allow the stigma to keep us from having an answer to a very fundamental question.
What do you want us to do about this?
I want us to take it seriously and have a process to take it seriously. I want us to have a process to analyze the data every time it comes in, that there be a place where this is cataloged and constantly analyzed until we get some answers. Maybe it has a very simple answer. Maybe it doesn't.
Yeah. Well, many books have been written, many stories have been told by people who have been abducted, by many people who have been contacted by aliens and who are working with them to bring about a specific result based on alien agenda. So when researching all of this, look up the name Corey Good, David Wilcock, Dr. Stephen Greer, even Laura Eisenhower, the great, great granddaughter of President Eisenhower. Punch her up. Listen to what she has to say. Because her grandfather, President Eisenhower, he met with aliens back in 1952 and made an agreement with them that they could continue to abduct us, the human beings on the face of the earth, right, in exchange for advanced technological toys that they could give us. It's all in the record, but you have to do your homework on this. I mean, you just can't take my word for it. Do your homework. Listen to these people. There are many, many, many books. That, look, this is going to be the biggest subject discussed on planet Earth for the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years.
To hear her all of a sudden be regressed to remembering this lifetime where she's a commander on an extraterrestrial ship, I thought, oh my gosh, what is she going to say after this session? So she uncovers all this information, and we spent a while really collecting this information about the seeding of the planet, why they were here, the lack of resources, and I mean, there was so much fascinating information, but what I found really interesting was they, as a collective, they all had to go through this vortex, and it was like a vortex of enlightenment. And of course, I was curious, what do you find out when you go into this vortex of enlightenment? So she went through the vortex herself to experience it, and she said, it's like you get shocked awake with the truth of who you really are. And I'm like, who are you? And she found out, or she remembered the secrets of the universe is that everything is just a game, and that this game has been going on for longer than human beings can comprehend in the aspect of time. Because as she started to uncover this information, she realized we're all part of this group that travels from planet to planet to see what the next and the next will bring, so that we may never stop having these experiences. And that was what each person had to go through. They had to understand the truth of the universe in order to live amongst their society. But there was a severe depletion of resources in their society, and they didn't want to de-evolve as their species. So they came to see Earth, because Earth is rich in these resources. So a lot of us walking around are these beings, you know, just in a different meat suit, basically, experiencing these experiences. But it was so fascinating because neither one of us expected this to happen. So this is when it really gets crazy, when I realized I had to share this information. I'm just naturally skeptic, I guess. I need to learn these things. It has to be completely proven to me. I was just regressing Jen and getting all this information, but this weird phenomenon started happening. People that had never met one another or who didn't even know what I was uncovering with Jen started coming in for a session, and they were recounting the same lifetime. Or all of a sudden they would remember being an extraterrestrial who crash landed. And then I realized, oh my gosh, this information just fits into different puzzle pieces. Like, this is crazy. It took me a long time to really understand that I was supposed to share this information. And so I just started collecting all of it. I record all my sessions. So I asked my clients if they wouldn't mind if I could share it. And I put it all into the book, all the stuff that the higher consciousness wanted to share. Because I really don't write these books. I am just the facilitator. I'm the humble messenger. But these books are not written by me whatsoever. Sometimes I feel guilty putting my name on this book because there's an agenda. It's an agenda to really help people understand who they are and why they're here, and really help them release trauma, I've noticed.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is going to be a big subject. You are at the right place at the right time to know who you are, why you were created, and to know, as Billy Woodard said, who was commander of Area 51 last week when we were on the air, that you are gods and goddesses, that you have abilities way beyond your imagination, because we have been dumbed down. We've been treated like an automaton, like we were... disgracefully, that they didn't want us to know our own abilities. Listen, I just wanted to bring you some information about today's program, and I thank you very much for listening. We seem to be at the end of the hour, and I really appreciate you listening, but there's so much more that it's almost difficult to believe all the things that are happening to us and what is happening to us on this planet called Earth. Dolores Cannon is another name. I want you to get as much material by her as possible so that you can understand. She's gone now. She just crossed over. But for 30 years, she traveled all across the world giving us information about our own humanity, our own destiny, and about what we should be doing. So thank you very much for listening to Lights in the Night on BBS Radio. And I'm Russell, and that's I'll see you next time right here on lightsinthenight.org. Thank you very much for listening, and have a good one. Do your research. Thank you.